that you have a divine appointment for each person in this room, especially for me, Lord. You're going to dig deep. And Lord, I just pray that even as Paul spoke, I don't come to you with eloquent words, but with the demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. So I pray that you'd open up ears, eyes, and hearts to obey you, to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in this day. Let them see you, Jesus. Let them hear you. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have showed up. Now show off on your behalf, Jesus. Amen. So when I looked at the list, you know, since it was such short notice, when I looked at the list, I thought, oh, I wonder which one I'm going to get, because Debbie had told me that she was going to email me my topic. And so I went down the list and I looked at, you know, what it was all about, each one. And when I got to the one that ended up being mine, I went, oh, man, that's a hard one. I don't want that one. Then I went to the next one and the next one. And then when I get the email from her, and it was that one, the one that I thought, oh, no. Then I had to kind of laugh, because, you know, God never gives you usually what you want. He usually gives you what you need, right, to stretch you. And I'm like, God, you know, what do I have inside of me that I can give them? I mean, Lord, this is about, you know, about believing you, God, believing in prayer, believing in healing, and believing. And I'm like, God, when was the last time you used me to raise somebody from the dead? I mean, I can't recall that ever happening. So I was like, God, am I really qualified? And I, a few days later, I was on my treadmill like a mad woman, and I always have my phone when I'm on the treadmill, because I'm always either listening to a teaching or singing, worshiping. I know, I double duty it. God doesn't mind. So I'm on there and I'm listening, and all of a sudden, you guys, as a prophetic person, I don't think this has ever happened to me. This prophetic word starts coming up, and so, man, I turn on my phone and I'm audio taping myself. I'm prophesying to myself for 22 minutes. I prophesied to myself. And God spoke to me about this conference, and that he was going to use me and I didn't have to be afraid. The theme going through it was a lot about don't fear, do not fear. And actually even coming up, stepping up, coming up into a higher place, and not just for this conference, but where God has been preparing me for quite a while. And I say for my husband as well, too, because we're a team. We've been married almost 32 years. And so over the last 10 years especially, God has really been beginning to use us and uniting us and bringing us into our calling of ministry together. But there are there's some similarities in the way that we minister, but God has also caused me to flow in some other areas, probably walk a little more in authority, with a little more authority, although my husband is walking in that as well. But we tag team teach together now. But I'd like to start out with where I came from, because I think a lot of you don't really know my background. Maybe some of you do. And if you do, you just have to kind of listen. But I have some dear friends in here. One was born on my birthday. Thank you for coming, Lisa. And one is Susan, my friend. We've been friends a long time. I've taught her, both of their children. And so I'm a teacher. I teach voice and piano. Piano started about 3 years ago. And just a little bit of background, and then I'll take you into Mark chapter 9. Okay, so when I got saved, I was very broken. I couldn't even imagine God using me for anything. What would he want to use me for? You know, I was a mess. My life had been a mess. I had lots and lots of things happen in my life. I grew up, you know, in a broken home, and parents divorced at 5, and just, as some people would say, yada, yada, yada. I mean, there was just, if there was brokenness, it was in my life, you know. Victimization in my life. There was, you know, feeling like you've been rejected in my life. There was all kinds of those things that had taken place in my life. So when the Lord saved John and I, actually, we got saved at a wedding. Yes, you can get saved at a wedding. That was 31 years ago, out in Nikiski, Alaska. And everything turned topsy-turvy, upside down. I went from being this person who didn't know I was looking for my next high, you know, my next joint, alcohol, whatever. And I was headed towards alcoholism and all that stuff. And God began to, all of a sudden, I began to see things. It would be like me trying to read, prior to this, read this small writing without my glasses on. And as soon as I got saved, it was like, whoa, 2.5, and you're not getting in. They only go up to 2.5, Kim. So you have to wear real glasses one day, right? But I'm like, I had a new set of glasses on. And that new set of glasses actually, all I can say is that it thrusted me into a place of believing God. Matter of fact, I didn't know anything else but to believe God, because I had seen him transform my life so quickly, in some areas especially. Now the brokenness, a lot of the brokenness and stuff didn't go away real quickly. I'm still dealing with some issues in my own life, you know, from fear of rejection and those kind of things, because, you know, the enemy sees that in your life and you see it as something familiar. And so God is dealing with those areas, so I'm coming along. But back then, I was like a new person. And so I'd drive from my house to the store and I'd start sharing my faith with people. It was just coming out of me. I didn't know you weren't supposed to do that as a Christian. I just thought that's what Christians did. And so I'd go to the store and I'd begin to share Christ with people, and I would pray for people in the grocery store, and I would sing in tongues in the grocery store over the vegetables and fruits. And then God would bring me the vegetables and fruits, and I would begin to lay hands on them and to pray for them right there. And I didn't care. I was a little bit embarrassed. My husband was very embarrassed. But, well, he was, because he was very shy. You know, he was like, oh, Kim's doing it again. Okay, so, and until cell phones came along, he would just walk away, and then I'd have to whistle for him. Well, now we just call each other on the cell phone. Okay, I'm done ministering. But here's what I want to say in all that. God was teaching me and teaching me how to trust him and how to believe. And how to believe for that next thing, whatever it was. God, you open a door, and I'm going to walk through it. Because I didn't know anything else. I hope I don't sound pseudo-spiritual, because I don't mean it at all. I just didn't know any better. I had a spiritual mother who just, she just encouraged me and encouraged me and encouraged me to walk with God and to whatever God would do, however God wanted to use me, just Women's Aglow, okay, Women's Aglow, get involved in that. You know your husband's working, so get involved in worship, worship team, voice lessons. You know, I didn't even know I was going to become a teacher, you guys. I didn't even know I had a teaching gift. I just thought I was bossy, you know, which I am, but I mean, other than that, you know, and God's refining that area too. But I guess I better go to the scripture, which is in Mark 9, because this is what Nancy gave me in my workshop. So Mark 9, verses 14 through 29, and I'm sorry, I'm not being very spiritual here. I don't have my Bible. It's in the car. But I decided to go with Mark 9 on my phone, because this is how I live now. This is my computer, and this is, except for when I'm in McLaughlin ministering, I can't take it in. I take in my Bible, but this is my Bible now. So this is what's happening, okay? So I'm going to give you the background. James, John, and Peter were up on Mount Transfiguration. So high, high place. I mean, Peter just sticks his foot in his mouth. I can relate to Peter a lot. So he sticks his foot in his mouth, and then he comes down off the mountain. And all of a sudden, Jesus is hearing an argument going on. He sees his disciples and the religious people. He's like, what's going on here? And this man comes from out of the crowd, and he says, well, let me get there. This is what he says. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into violent convulsion. About then, we would all be running the opposite way. You think? You're like, oh my goodness, what's happening here? And he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long, Jesus says, how long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. Now, it doesn't say how old he is, actually. But can you imagine, this father probably had been seeing this going on for years. His son would try to throw himself into the fire or into hot water, trying to kill him. The enemy would do this. The spirit would often throw him into fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. And Jesus looks at the man and says, if I can, what do you mean? Jesus asks, now it's not like he didn't know what the guy meant, but he's asking the guy a question. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cries out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. So that's the premise for the teaching today. Now, I can go in a lot of different directions, so I've been asking the Holy Spirit what it is I need to share with you guys. I have a lot of different things that have happened in my background and where I want to go with it. But I think the main thing is I want to start out with is the Father, his heart was to see his child. And I know there's those of you that have children in this room right now that need healing in their lives. They need a healing emotionally, physically, spiritually. They're in a hard place. There are those of you that are in hard places yourself in this life. And your believer has kind of dwindled. It's kind of like having one of those believe-a-meters. You know, I wish I had one, but because I know a visual is great. I love visuals. I'm really good at usually describing things. But here's your believe-a-meter. And some people's believe-a-meter is way up here, and some people's believe-a-meter is like way down here. Because they believed, and it hasn't happened yet. But I'm here to say that when you press into God and you keep believing, you might have to kind of settle in your heart that thing right there, okay, God, I've given that to you. Now, what is the next thing that you want to do with me? It's okay to let go of that thing and to let God do something different with you, cause you to, matter of fact, he gave me a word. He says, I'm going to use you like a chess piece. You know, and I am not a chess player by any stretch of the imagination. So, but they go back, you know, they go backwards and forwards and sideways and all that. At least I think that's what they do. That's what I've seen on TV, right? I don't play, but I did date one guy that did. Oh, sorry, honey. But anyway, he was actually a champion here in Anchorage. But anyhow, that's what they do. And when God began to speak that to me just recently, that he uses me like a chess piece, that's what I believe. That word wasn't just for me. That word was to impart to you. That God wants to use you like a chess piece to open doors of influence for you, to allow opportunities for you as you step into, say, God, yield to the Lord. Say, okay, God, no, maybe that hasn't been taken care of yet. I'm believing you for that. Just because you don't think about that one thing every single minute of every day, ladies and gentlemen, does not mean that you've just given up on that thing. It just means that you're trusting God with that issue, that situation, that trial. And your confession is that God is going to bring it to pass. I'm believing that God is going to bring it to pass. But for now, I'm not going to stay stuck in that rut and get all involved in self-pity and down in the dumps and not be able to see what that next thing is in front of you that God has for you to do. Because he has a plan and a call and a purpose for each and every one of us. And when all of us are doing our call and our purpose and believing God for that, what it is he's got right in front of us in that now moment, like what Evelyn spoke about this morning, that now moment, we're not always looking at what was in the past, and we're not looking so far ahead, but we're saying, God, what about now? What is it you want to do with me in the now? And God begins to open doors. Now, I will say, in this day, we are so busy. We have every little inch of our day, every little minute figured out. Like, we're going to do this and this and this and this. And those of us that are teachers that have kids that come at certain times and stuff, it's hard not to, you know, fill in your day. But I tell you what, when you allow yourself to say, God, what is it that you want for this day. Help me not to fill in every minute of this day, because someone needs a touch from God. Believe me, there's a lot of people out there. Nancy asked us to raise our hands. How many of us have led anybody to the Lord? And I'm not going to ask you that now. But I believe I have been, I used to be called the grocery store evangelist. I don't go into the grocery store a lot anymore. I just don't. That's not where I'm called to be. I'm actually called to minister within, behind, for DOJ, which is the Department of Juvenile, DOJJ, Department of Juvenile Justice, as well as in my own home. I minister out of my home a lot. John and I both do. So with that said, if we're always so busy cramming every little minute, have you ever run into somebody in the store and they're like, I gotta go. No, I can't talk. Oh, it's so good to see you. And then they're running off. And you see that they have a need in their life. And if they would only hold steady and listen to the Lord and let somebody come in and minister and believe with them, God would bring revival in their heart. God would bring deliverance for that need. But we're so busy. So my challenge to you is, don't fill in every second of your day and begin to ask God. Walk through your neighborhoods. It's a great way to get exercise, and it's a great way to meet people. There are people, and I mean literally, dying to meet you. Maybe they'll die and they'll never know Christ. Maybe you are the one that lived next door to them and you never knew them. 5 years in the same neighborhood. 5 years somebody had lived in my neighborhood across the street from me and had never met the lady. Now, I'm the social butterfly. So I'm like, oh, do you know them? Oh, do you know them? She said, oh, no, they've been here 5 years. I've never met them. I was like, what? I lived in Nikiski. You had to walk to get to somebody's house. Like, I mean, take a jaunt. Sweating, you know, to get to their house, right? What's up with that? What about being relational? What about seeing, allowing God to show you the need in somebody's life, to believe with them, to cry with them, to weep with them, to encourage them, to strengthen them? You know what? All of us have a busy schedule. All of us have full plates. What if we gave up one thing that we're doing? One thing that we're doing, and we use that time to go and to minister to somebody who had a real need. What if we asked God and said, God, who is it that you want me to minister to today? And you see the neighbor lady with a baby on her hip. This actually has. We have a neighbor lady like this. Baby on her hip, a little one running out in front of her, and another little one. What if you had an extra egg foo young that you made? Because I like egg foo young. Egg foo young or egg rolls or whatever. You had a little bit of extra soup. What if you brought over a bowl of soup? Because it was left over. And your kid makes fun of you. They say, oh, Mom, what are you doing? Dad, what are you doing? Well, you know what? This was extra. And you know what? You begin to build a bridge. And pretty soon, the next time you see that person, they begin to share their life with you. And all of a sudden, God gives you an inroad and a view into their need. And then you begin to be the conduit, as Nancy would say. God makes you the conduit, then you conduit, right? So you begin to be the conduit that God uses for this person that does not know Christ. You begin to be Jesus with skin on to them. What did it cost you? Not very much, really. You see them walk by and you say, Lord, bless them. Maybe that's all it is. Lord, bless them. But pretty soon God gives you favor, great favor to speak into their life and to help them and to walk with them and say, you know what? I'm going to be praying for you because I see you're a really busy mom. You need a lot of prayer, don't you? All you have to do is be a little funny and people just receive it because they're so stressed nowadays. They're so tight. Just say, hey, looks like you're a busy mama. Maybe I could bring over something for you sometime. You don't even have to make it yet. Then do it. Then follow through. Okay, so I know I'm kind of speaking kind of a girl thing, but guys can do it too. I know you guys, you know, maybe you guys talk more about the weather and what have you and all that stuff, you know, but I don't know. You guys have opportunities that we don't have. Men reaching into men's lives. You know, men reaching into women's lives, whatever. God using you the way that he wants to use you because he's formed you, he knows you, he knows the person that will receive from you. Okay, so now I have to tell you about another neighbor. several years ago, John and I were walking through the neighborhood, and we run into him quite a bit, and we just love he and his wife, and I don't know if he'll ever listen to this, so whatever, but I'm not afraid anyways. So anyways, I started to talk to him about Jesus, just kind of like trying to get the, evangelist, right? So trying to get the word in, and he just like stonewalls me. He does not want to hear it. So I quit. That was the only time I'd ever really done that, and so I quit. So every time we'd see him, like, I'm loving on his dog, and really, I love his dog, and I love him. Well, I hadn't seen him hardly at all winter. This year, we saw him the other day, and as soon as I saw him, I said, hey, look, John, there's so-and-so. And so I came kind of running towards him, and he reached out. I reached out, and he hugged me, first time ever. Of course, John was there, you know, just kind of side hug thing. And so I side hugged him, and we started talking, and then pretty soon he starts sharing with us about one of his, oh, I know what it was. I started to bend down to pet the dog, and my knee locked. And so instead of it popping, I didn't want to hurt my knee. I didn't know meniscus, whatever. So I literally went down to the ground, just kind of like sat down on the ground. I'm short, so it didn't take me much, you know, I was just there. But I was kind of embarrassed. So he reached out. John was there too. John had the dog. We always walk our dog. And the man reached out and helped me up, and John too. And he said, you know? I said, yeah, I didn't want to hurt my knee. I felt it. And he goes, you know? And he starts telling me about somebody that he works for. Matter of fact, he's having surgery today. And so he said, yeah, this guy that I work for, his wife is getting ready to go in. She's having meniscus surgery. And, well, guess what? What do you think I said? Oh, well, I hope she gets better. And we walked away. Do you think that that's what happened? What do you think happened? Well, okay. You want to know what happened? I'm thinking, Holy Spirit, okay. I said, well, you know what? I said, what's her name? He tells me, and I said, you know what? John and I are going to be praying for her surgery. See, that was kind of a side road getting in. He goes, oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you. He was so thankful. He said, yeah, her husband works with me. Now I've got an inroad. See, I made friends. We made friends. It's been years, several years. So we were walking friends. They were neighbors. But God wants to use us to bring himself into their lives. How better to bring us across their, if God's going to bring us across people's lives, I'm telling you what, I have a feeling that one day we are going to be, when we stand before God, because you know we're going to get rewards in heaven, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to stand before God and know that somebody didn't come to know the Lord because I was too afraid to tell them. I would rather err on the side of shut your mouth, I don't want to hear it, even though it's a little uncomfortable. Or I'm having a bad day, don't talk to me, or whatever it is, you know, your grocery store line or whatever. I'd rather err on the side of that, you know, of getting in somebody's business a little bit, than not follow through when you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at you. Have you ever asked somebody, you can see that they have a need, and you say, can I pray for you? And they say, no, I don't, no, I'm fine. Those are the saddest people to me. They're the hardest ones. But you know what? Someday, God will send somebody else across their path. Because God is always faithful. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to believe. And you know what? Every single person, every single one of you guys in this room, and every single person that calls themselves a Christian, the Word of God says that it's in your, it's, it says the message is very close to you. Matter of fact, it's in your mouth. If you'll just speak it out, God's going to bless it. God's gonna cause you and your faith mixed with maybe their little bit of believer to bring that thing to happen. And I will say this, is that the greatest thing that can ever happen, I love it when somebody gets healed physically. But I will tell you what, I'm going to switch gears here. It's about 25 after, so I'm going to switch gears. And I'm going to tell you that sometimes one thing we do need to do is have a lifestyle of prayer and fasting and the word. Word, prayer, fasting. It needs to become a lifestyle. It's not fun. But it can be. I'm talking about fasting now because I love to eat. I really do. I love to eat. I love food. I say the only reason why I exercise is because I like to eat so much. But the truth of it is I really like to be outdoors, and I really like to exercise. But I'm not an exerciseaholic by any stretch of the imagination. I just feel like it's a place where God can use my husband and I out in the community. People wave at us constantly. They think they know us. We're like, who was that? I don't know. It's a neighbor, you know. Hey, how are you kids doing, you know? And I'm serious. It's just, it's amazing. Everybody thinks they know us. Big, huge builders. We have a huge builder, home builder, that lives in our neighborhood. That, I mean, his, if I said his name, everybody that lived in Anchorage would know who he is because he is a big-time builder. And he just loves us. So, and even I'll just tell you a real short thing. At Christmas time, I decided to take peanut butter fudge. I made peanut butter fudge till the world looked level. I'd make peanut butter fudge, I'd eat half of it, and then I'd go give a bunch of it out, and then the Lord would show me more people that I needed to give peanut butter fudge to. He was one of them. Come knocking on his humongo house. He lives in a different area than I live in, but we live in the same area, okay? I live in the older, established 1977 house. He lives in this mansion, okay? I know I've been in it, but anyways, when the last person lived there, yeah, it's really cool. But anyway, but he always waves when he drives by. Well, anyways, I thought, oh, who am I? Here I am in my little 2003, dirty as all get out, lived in, eat my food in the car, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to give him peanut butter fudge. And it's not even very much, but everybody gets some, right? If I hadn't ate so much, there would have been more. Anyway, anyhow, so I get up there. I knock on the door. John and I knock on the door, and his wife answers the door. He was resting for the evening. It's about 7 o'clock at night, and I usually don't like to go to people's house that late at night. But anyways, she says, I know who you are. Are you the one that walks your dog, blah, 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 blah? My husband says you're his little redhead. I kid you not. I'm his little redhead. And I was kind of embarrassed. I'm like, honey, you know, John knows me. He trusts me, right? I wasn't really his little redhead. But you get what I'm saying. All of a sudden, he hears, oh, you're his little redhead. Here he comes out of wherever he was coming from in that mansion. He comes. He must have been in the other room, kitchen or whatever. I think it's in the middle of the house. And he comes forward and he goes, what are you doing here? And I said, I brought you some peanut butter fudge. He goes, are you serious? That is just so nice. That's an inroad. Please don't think, most of you that know me, you know that this is not me anyway. Don't think I'm saying this to brag. I'm saying this to tell you that I went past his street, was not going to go to his house. You know why? Because my Subaru was dirty. I'm being serious. You can look at it right now. It's still dirty. It's the dirtiest car out in that parking lot. It is. That's how you knew I was here, huh? Anyways, I've had people accuse me that never see me near my car. They go, I bet you drive a Mercedes. I said, right in heaven. Well, have me a Beamer or whatever, as long as you don't have to work on them, you know. Anyhow, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for God to give me another chance to help that man believe in him, for an inroad into his heart, into his life. I'm waiting for his wife to be able to share. I'm waiting to see her with her two little dogs out there in front of their mansion and say, wow, how are you guys doing? You know, and just John flows with me a lot better now because he's used to me now, right? So he and I, yeah, I took 31 years. But, you know, so that we can minister to those people. I'm talking to you about your neighbors because they are the people that you probably would have the most influence with right in your own backyard, right in your own community. These are people that see you all the time. Now, in the wintertime, we go into our garage, if you have a garage. I did. After 40 years of not having a garage, I have a garage. Hallelujah. So I've had a garage for 15 years. It's been nice. Anyways, you close the garage in the wintertime, but at least you get those waves in. And then at Christmas time, you bring them cookies, and in the summertime, you see everybody, and then everybody goes back into their shell again in the wintertime. That's how it is in Alaska. But the point being is that wherever God has you, your sphere of influence, God wants you to bring believers. He wants you to bring your believer inside of you into the lives of other people so that we can call them those things that are not as though they are. Call them out of where, out of their dark places, you guys. You know, God busted me one time. So I'm gonna this is the last story I think that I'm gonna tell about my neighborhood. So I was walking through my neighborhood. My husband had quit his job like 10 years ago to sit and wait on the Lord. Now, tell me if that's not testing your believer. Okay, 10 years ago, he said, okay, I'm leaving my job, and they're downsizing anyways. I'm taking an out. And anyways, long story short, scare the out of me. And after that, it was like, okay, Lord. So where was I going with that? There was a story I was going to tell about my neighborhood. Oh, shoot. Can't believe it. Scratch this out of that, please, Lisa. Thank you. There was a story I was going to tell you. It was my last story I was going to tell you about my neighborhood. Oh, I know what it was. So, for, you know, things had gotten pretty scary at times. And my friends know. They've walked me through these things, prayed me through these things, encouraged me through these things. I have known the Lord, and I've known his faithfulness. And for some reason, my believer meter was way down because God did not ask me if my husband could take an early out. He did not ask me. So one day I'm walking through my neighborhood and I'm going, God, those people over there, look at those people over there in that house over there. Yeah, they don't care about me. Self-pity. They don't care about me, and they wouldn't even care if we had to move out of this neighborhood. And I already asked you and you said no. You said you're going to, we asked you if you wanted us to move and you said no. So God, I mean, really, you know, these people don't even care. They wouldn't care if we left this neighborhood. And all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit say, they're not responsible for you. I am. I am. Whoa. You know what? After that, every time I'd want to go there, like make any accusation at these people that I don't think they even like me or whatever, they don't care about me, then I'd remember that word, because God's responsible for my believing. I'm responsible to him for believing him for the things that I cannot see. You're responsible for him for the things that you can't see that are going on in your own life that you haven't seen come to fruition yet. But I will bet you, and I'm not a betting woman, but I will bet you that God has set you up just like he set me up. See, I thought it was because he was mad at me. So I had my believer meter went like from here, praise God, my husband's got a good job, he makes a lot of money, to here. Oh my God, what are we going to do? We're not going to make it. I'm serious. My believer meter was like way down here. But you know what? It's in those trials. And you know, I am kind of going off the thing about the believing in a way about healing, but I will say what God did for me in the last 10 years, he actually healed my heart. He healed my heart of, do you really love me, God? And then I've been able to help other people that have come to me with the same issues. Imagine that God would bring you people with the same issues that you struggle with. You know why? Because the scripture says that he gave us the Holy Spirit to comfort us with the same comfort that we've been comforted with. So of course he's going to bring people across your path that have struggled with the same thing. Maybe you're a little further along in your healing. So I share that with you because that's probably going to be my last, you know, neighborhood thing. But I want to get back to this about where God has been taking me. I was in Ketchikan, Alaska in 2012, and at that point in time, I had a major revelation happen there for me. I'd had some things happen to me when I was a kid and things that I brought on myself too, but I had a child out of wedlock. And at the age of, I'm trying to think if I was, well, it's been 5 years ago now, 5.5 years ago, Lord had me go down to the Kenai, Nikiski, pray, share with some friends that I felt Lord was putting on my heart to find my son. I found him in 5 minutes on the internet. I found him. His girlfriend had put him on the internet 8 days before. So while I was telling people down on the Kenai that I was to find my son, that I didn't even know if he was dead or alive, anyway, here his girlfriend put him on the internet. He did not even know it. So anyways, we hooked up, and so I'm going back to Ketchikan because right before we, right after we hooked up. We hooked up for about 5 months, went down and visited him. He found it to be very difficult. And our relationship, it was great over Skype, but it was not the same in person. My son is a confessed alcoholic and was not raised in a Christian home, which that was the one thing that I wanted, was that he was raised in a Christian home. So it was kind of a very hurtful thing to me that the doctors and the lawyers kind of did behind my back, really, honestly. I've had to deal with that issue. But anyways, my son walked away. Tell you what, guys, that was the hardest thing. I had to believe. And so I heard the Holy Spirit. Now here I am in Ketchikan. It was 9 months since I'd heard from my son. I had texted him, and I had heard the Holy Spirit say, just keep texting him. Just text him when I prompt your heart. So I'm in Ketchikan, Alaska. We do a meetings there, and the Lord really did something inside of me, actually said, okay, remember what I was saying at the beginning? Sometimes those things haven't been taken care of yet. Your believer still needs to believe, but I haven't taken care of that issue yet. I'm working inside of his heart. Now you just be and do what I've asked you to do and move forward. So I let him there. I let him go there in Ketchikan. And at the end of the conference, about halfway through the conference, there's a coffee shop there, Kindred Spirits, and I went in there to have coffee, and there was this gal working there, and I hear the Holy Spirit say, talk with this gal. So I started talking with her. John and I were in there talking with her, and she said, yeah, my sister lives in Anchorage. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, talk to her about her sister. So I talked to her about her sister, and she said, Holy Spirit says, ask her if you can go visit her, her sister. She says, well, she's in McLaughlin. I'm thinking, I should have been there as a teenager. But, you know, by the grace of God, I didn't end up in McLaughlin, thank God. But I said, well, I don't know what I can do, but I am going to go visit your sister. Long story short, I get there thinking I could just, you know, go in there and say, hi, here I am. You know, I want to come visit this girl. And anyways, as it turned out, while they were interviewing me over the phone, they said, what, do you have an occupation? I said, yes, I'm a voice teacher. At that time, I wasn't teaching piano yet. And they said, oh, our girls love to sing. And before I knew it, girls, it just leapt out of my mouth, and I couldn't take it back. I said, oh, do you have a choir in here? And I'm thinking, what did I just say? And they said, no, but we would love one. And I said, I'll have my unit court, my unit supervisor call you. 30 minutes later, I'm having coffee in this little coffee shop, which I hardly ever do that. I mean, that's unusual for me. My phone rings. This man says he's been praying for 2 years, supervisor, 2 years he's been praying for somebody to come in there and minister to the girls. Now, I don't even remember how he found out I was a Christian unless I just, you know, we just started talking in Christianese or whatever. But anyway, I have no idea how he found out I was a Christian. But anyways, he said he'd been praying and was really believing God. He said he had somebody come in there, but they had not stayed. Okay, so that was 4.5 years ago. I am still there. The unit supervisor changed almost immediately. And what ended up happening was my supervisor, I know it was the Spirit of God inside of me. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm so happy all the time when I come in there. But my supervisor did not take a very good liking to me. And through a course of events, I ended up going to the leadership there, or they call it transition services unit, and talking to them and saying, I don't want to teach music in there anymore. I want to just do Bible. The chaplain's been bugging me, wants me to do Bible. And so anyways, then I talk with, they said, you can do whatever you want, Kim. I mean, this is favor, the favor of God. You can do whatever you want. We love what you've done with our kids so far. You can do whatever you want. If you want to go in a different unit with the boys, you can do whatever you want. But I still really felt called to the girls. So anyways, long story short, had an intermediary time with my supervisor. Everything got worked up because I forgave him. And so I took the stand as a Christian that I wasn't going to put up with his stuff. Believe me, I did tell him that. But I also believed that God was going to use me. So I walked in humility and I just said, you know, okay, it's very nice to meet you. My name's Kim Gaze. I think we got off on the wrong foot. And we started a new relationship. And when that man, a year later, year and 3 months later in August, they have the Alaska Wilderness Men's Classic here. he was killed crossing a river. And I knew I had already talked to him about Jesus, but I wept. I mean, even to this day, it makes me want to weep that he died. Because I don't ever want anybody to die that have anything, you know, in between them and I. But I knew that I had made it right with God, and I knew that I had been a witness, and I knew that that man saw something inside of me. I think he realized, before he died, I'm talking about, I really struggled with his death. I really struggled with why God took him so young. He was only, I think, 37 years old. I really struggled. God, because he was mean to me, did you take him home or what? You know? I don't know. I have no idea. But what I've seen happen in that place since then, and since Nancy spoke that word over, that new word that she had that started at the beginning of last year in January, God began to open up new doors of opportunity to go in and to talk to these kids about believing in Christ, believing God for anything, that anything's possible, that you are not. Now, understand, I don't ask anybody in there, neither does John, what they're in there for. And I understand that there's a lot of people that have been victimized. I've been victimized myself. But for some reason, God gave me a supernatural ability, that's the only way I can put it, to forgive. And to walk in there and say, you know what, you are not what you're in here for. They may have labeled you, and you may be, you're in trouble because you did something. I'm sure you were not sucking on a lollipop walking down the street, and all of a sudden the police picked you up, and now you're in here. That ain't the way it happens usually, okay? Oh, I'm not guilty, blah, blah, blah. I don't even hear any of that crap. You want to know what C word slipped out. Get rid of that one. What usually happens is this. When we begin to share, we hear people say things like this. You know what? You have just shared. That's my life. Just what you talked about. You have just shared my life. I've lived my whole life like that. And man, something inside of us just causes us to believe even more. And as we wait on God, because now we're in our sphere of influence, right, you guys? Has things changed? Yeah, I'm not just walking down the street talking to my neighbors. Now I'm behind the razor wall. Am I up on the platform prophesying? No. Did that for 16 years. I'm not doing that anymore. And that was a hard place too. I won't get into that. I had to die and let God use me where he wanted to use me. The church is not the only place you can be used by God. Matter of fact, to get outside the church walls is really where God wants to use you the most. That's where our call is. We raise people up inside the church walls. We send them out to do the work of the ministry. And if you are not doing anything outside your church walls, if you're not working and you're not being a blessing to people that you work with, et cetera, then this workshop was for you, because I'm challenging you to get outside your own fear. I do everything afraid, you guys. Almost everything. I know I'm very bold, and I'm not always so, like, super, super scared on things. But when I walk into McLaughlin, let me tell you something. It's the darkest place I've ever walked into. How many of y'all know who Joanne Meckstroth is? Do you know who Joanne is? She's from the Kenai Peninsula. Powerful woman of God. She actually prophesied over me one day. She said, I see you. It's so interesting because Nancy's thing with the arrows going. She says, I see you like God is sending you out like a bow and arrow. He's shooting you. You're the arrow. And he's sending you out. And he's sending you out into these very dark places. But as I see you go out, Kim, I see you hit the mark every single time. And John had a similar word from Nancy just a few years ago. I mean, it was, she didn't know that Joanne had given me that word. So together, now John and I, so anyways, I ended up going in and teaching Bible every other week. I do music, I do Bible. I'm a general volunteer, and I'm a religious volunteer. I've been doing it for 3.5 years now. And so when I go in and I share, then that gives me, even though I'm as a general volunteer prior to becoming a Bible teacher in there, you know, I could get up real close to the line, you know, and talk to them a little bit and bring in Christian music and stuff like that. And they begin to open up to me a little bit. But being a religious volunteer and a general volunteer, those girls talk to me about, you know, they'll start talking to me about religious things. They'll start talking to me about God. And they'll start talking to me about their lives. And as a believer, we've been able to see at least three people give their lives to Christ. We actually led one young person to the Lord. Now, in there, we're not actually allowed to walk them through and say, you know, repeat after me, say Jesus Christ is my Lord and all that. But we give them every scripture based on the Word of God to get them to that place where they go in their bedroom and they can actually receive Christ themselves. That's about as good as we've got it, because we want to keep our opportunity to go in there. They're minors, most of them. So those are the rules. But we actually got to lead one young man to the Lord. And at the risk of somebody listening to this, a year ago in January, before Nancy released that word in Anchorage, my neighbor lived just a few doors around the corner from me, and my friend. She was my friend. I taught her children. Her son was accused of a double murder, double homicide. He's accused. He's in McLaughlin right now. He's accused. And I'm not saying he's guilty, but I'm saying he's accused of killing my friend and her daughter. And the very next morning after that happened, that night I got a phone call from one of my neighbors, and all I could do was scream. My mom was supposed to have been there that night. It was just one of those things. She was late. She went to McDonald's. She came back, and the cops were all there. It had already taken place. And anyway, so the very next morning, John and I were sitting at our breakfast table like we do almost every morning. We sit at the breakfast table. We have the word. We read the Jesus calling, and then we go off and do our prayer, whatever. And I heard the Lord say this: I'm going to supernaturally cause you to forgive him, if he's the one that did it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to cause you to supernaturally forgive him. And I was like, I was so surreal, but it was so real. It was like a voice. I knew I was going to be able to forgive him. And I knew that one day I'd be able to minister to him. Go figure that. So in December, but I was believing God for his salvation. So in December, I did what I always do in December for the last several years. I go and we do a talent show, and some of the kids are involved, and then I lead the music at the end, you know. Santa Claus is coming to town. And then I do a lot of Christian music, too. They let me do whatever I want, so hey, I get away with a whole lot. But anyway, so what ends up happening is the young man was in there. He saw me, and one of the staff members came over and said, can you come over here? He wants to talk with you. So I talked with him for a couple minutes, and it was like everybody, it's like a parting of the Red Sea. Everybody walked away. And so I just talked, chatted with him, and I knew I'd forgiven him. I knew instantaneously that I'd forgiven him. I hadn't seen him since before that had happened. And so about New Year's Eve, I get a phone call. That was in the end of December at New Year's Eve. I told John, I came home from that meeting, that talent show, and I said, you know what? There's a lot of staff there. There's probably 200 people in the room. I told John, I said, God's going to use us. This is my believer now kicking in. See, now I'm operating in my authority, my belief that God is going to use me. Doesn't matter if my son and all that's taken care of. I'm going to believe God, that God is going to use me to speak into that young man's life. And so we ended up being able to go in, not as a, quote, religious volunteer, but kind of as somebody that knew him, anyways, long story short, we started talking to him about the Lord each time we would go in, and he accepted Christ. He had grown up in the church. I know. I'd been around him. He grew up in the church. He accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And we get out in the car, and we're just both of us just going, wow, God. But see, had I have not forgiven him for what he possibly could have done, not saying he's guilty, okay, but I don't know that God would have used me. I don't know that, because I basically led him through the sinner's prayer. He may be in prison the rest of his life, but guess what? He's not going to be in prison the rest of his life. Do you know what I mean? And his mom and his sister are in heaven. And I know that they were going, get him! You know, believe for him. Don't give up on him. And I can tell you that it's only by the supernatural power of the Lord to be able to believe sometimes. Help my unbelief. Because right now I'm not feeling like I believe very good, Lord. Help my unbelief. Do I know the rest of the story? I will tell you, ever since I thought about coming to this conference this week, I have thought of him. I want to go see him again. We never tell him when we're coming. We ask if we can come in and visit. We never promise anything. We just call and say, hey, I'd like to come in and visit. Is he up to it? And then we go. He's never denied us. Not one time has he. By the way, the rest of the story with my son, 5 years, I could show you on my, I still have all the texts, 4.5 years actually, all the texts of getting a hold of him, texting him, Merry Christmas. Hey, just thinking about you. Holy Spirit would say, okay, send him a text. I miss you. Last May 13th, I got a text. It was his mom that raised him here, mom and dad. But it was his mom texted me and said, he's in town, he wants to see you, he wants to have dinner. He apologized all over the place. He was embarrassed. He says, I can't believe I allowed that time to go by so long. I said, I know why. I said, because that person that you met all those years ago, me, I'm not that same person. I'm a different person. My believer was like way up, but I had also entrusted him to the Lord. So if you've got something in your life that you've entrusted to the Lord, hang on, because God will fulfill it. He will take care of it. He will deliver. He is an on-time God. And he's going to perfect it. And now we text. We call each other. Does he know the Lord? Not yet, but he's coming. He's coming. And wait till you hear this. His birth father, my ex-boyfriend, when I was 14 through 16, whatever, off and on, he's friends with John and I. He's actually been to our home. I call him every now and then and say, hey, you know, and I talk to him about the Lord. It's an inroad. I'm the one that actually hooked him and his son up. I don't want to keep him for myself. I want them both to come into the kingdom, because that's more important than me getting my own way. I want them both to come into the kingdom, because every time I affect somebody, then they can turn around and affect somebody else. It's a domino effect, because I know if they get saved, and I have a feeling if his dad gets saved, his birth dad gets saved, then he'll come to know the Lord. We've been praying for him every day. So my son knows that I'm a believer, and I'm believing for his salvation, and I'm believing for his deliverance, and I'm believing that he's got a great call on his life, just like John and I. So when John and I started going in, we actually go in. Let me get back to that. We actually go into McLaughlin a year ago, January, after we went in, and after she had passed away, my friend and her daughter, I get a call from the chaplain. And we're talking, and it just leapt out of my mouth again. I said, you guys following me? Am I doing okay? Because I kind of went back and forth a little bit. Are you okay? So last January, okay. So I said, do you guys need any help, like, you know, like a husband and wife team, you know, going in and ministering? She said, well, as a matter of fact, we do. So I said, wow, okay. Let's believe God for this, you know. She said, I've never met your husband. I said, oh, you're going to love him. I already felt the Holy Spirit all over that thing. God was opening a new door. We believed, and God was opening up a new door. And that's when John and I, that's been stretching his believer muscles, hasn't it, honey? Because I've been teaching a lot more years than John has, but we tag team teach, and God uses us together. And they see, you guys, they see a mother and a father. That's how I believe God uses us. As a mom and a dad in there. You know, I used to not want to get old, not and I have a hang-up about it or anything. But now I'm enjoying the older age that I can minister to people that are half my age or even a little bit younger than me. And when John and I go in there and they give us flack, we just go, whatever. We ain't here to convince you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Take it like it is. And then the next time they come to our meetings again, we're thinking, I thought that one was, I thought we scared that one off. Now he's coming back, you know. I'm sorry, you know. I mean, God has been doing some amazing things. God will use you wherever your sphere of influence is. But I'm telling you what, those times of helping your unbelief, you think that I didn't struggle with unbelief with my son? And I have another son too, Sonny. We love him dearly. He lives at our home. Praying for his, that he will just walk in the goodness of the Lord. Praying his kingdom come, your will be done, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done. All of us got things like that in our lives, right? I tell you what, I wrote something down, and I do believe this. If you guys still with me? Okay. To believe means to have confidence in, convinced of the truth, by the way. I know you all know what we're called believers, right? We're convinced of the truth. In the movie Santa Claus, seeing isn't believing. You guys remember this line? Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. I thought, that where did they got that straight out of the scripture? There's another movie I'd like you to see. It's Faith Like Potatoes. It's a huge faith builder for you. Faith, believing God for the miraculous. And I didn't have a chance to read it. Somebody actually gave it back to me. I went on Facebook and said, I loaned it out. I don't know who I loaned it out to, and they got it to me, but I didn't have time to watch it. But anyways, watch that movie. And then Faith Like Potatoes. Faith Like Potatoes. Yes. Ask God to give you more opportunities to stretch your believer muscles. The enemy is a counterfeit. He's bringing those who will step up and meet the need of healing in the lives of people. This is important. The enemy, just like in McLaughlin, schoolroom, Hinduism, Buddhism, and the definition of what they are, they're teaching it in our schools. So let me tell you something. You better be coming with the truth. He's a counterfeit. So we as believers have the authority to tear that thing down. And I'm not talking about tearing it off the wall, but I'm talking about using those inroads that God gives us to minister to the hearts of people to help them believe in the truth and the true one, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was for somebody. As we live a life of prayer and fasting, our senses and ear become keen to hearing our assignment from the Lord. If you're not spending time, frankly, in prayer, in the Word, listening, it sounds weird, but when I drive all the way to Kenai, I would actually ask the Lord, which store do you want me to go first? Kmart was there, you know. Kmart, cars, which one? And inevitably, when I'd ask him that, I would have a divine appointment. He would set me up with a divine appointment to pray for somebody for healing. I prayed for so many people for healing. Don't ever give up if God allows you to pray for people for healing. Don't ever give up on praying for people. If you don't see a manifestation right away, just know that God used you to impart. And then believe God. Should I tell him that story about when Sonny was in the hospital when he was brand new? He was 4 weeks old, and he started puking his brains out. I was changing clothes. My mom and I both, like, constantly. He had pyloric stenosis. So I took him in. He had surgery. There was another little boy in the NICU. And I saw his parents come in and out. And, you know, you don't want to bother people because that's their child. He was hooked up to every machine you can imagine. His skin was completely orange. His kidneys, his liver, just everything. I mean, the kid looked like he was going to die, seriously. But I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, ask them if you can pray for him. This was the coolest thing. Did I see anything happen right away? No. I went over, asked them. They said yes. Laid hands on him, prayed for him. It was probably, I'm guessing, 2.5, 3 years later, I'm in the grocery store in Costco's here in Anchorage, and I'm behind this lady, and she's got a couple kids in the basket, and she turns around. She goes, I know you. I said, you do? Oh, boy. She said, you prayed for my son when he was in the NICU. You had a child in there, too. She said, this is him. I was like, I don't know if I was the only one praying for that kid. What if I was? Don't despise those small things that God asks you to do. If he says, stop, look to the left. You look to the left, and all of a sudden you see somebody, and Holy Spirit says, go over there and tell them I love them. Be Jesus to them. Believe what I'm saying to you is real. So you go over there and you say, you know what? I don't know why, but I really felt God wanted me to tell you, I really love your sweater. Can I have it? No, that's not what I said. Jesus loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. You know, if you died today, right now, where do you think you would go? Do you think you'd go to heaven? Well, sure I would. Well, why do you believe that? Oh, I'm a good person. Do you realize that the Bible says that the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God, the free gift, Tracy, is eternal life. That's how simple it is, you guys. That's how simple. And they go, really? And pretty soon you're like my pastor, that the door closed on Subway and 9 people got saved. Boom! Just like that, because he was willing to step out and share his faith with people and believe God when God spoke to him. God is speaking to each one of us. If you're a believer, you have spiritual ears. You just have to be in tweaking them up. If you need hearing aids, turn them up. Is that good? I thought that was good. Yeah. Okay, so God doesn't call the qualified, does he? Are any of you guys qualified in your own self? Oh, I know I am. I know I am because I got red curly hair. There you go. I know you got red curly hair too. Okay, so no. God qualifies the called. Put your hand in his hand and believe. And believe that whatever it is, the assignment that God has given you, is going to be something greater than you ever expected God to do with you. And let me tell you something, like Nancy says, it's fun. It's absolutely a blast. When you do, you come home and you're like, guess what happened today? So what if you can't give big, long testimonies at your church? We go to a big church. You can't. People don't stand up and give testimony, although that used to be my favorite time. God wants to use us. Can I tell just one more quick story? Awesome. Okay. So in 2014, I didn't have a job in the summer, but I had a friend who had a mother-in-law who, frankly, she was having a real difficult time with. The mother-in-law had Alzheimer's. She was pretty far along in her Alzheimer's. I loved her mother-in-law. So my girlfriend said, I need somebody to take care of my mother-in-law. And I said, well, I can do it. You know, I mean, I'm not teaching in the summertime. And so I started, 2013. So I went ahead and said yes. And about a week and a half later, she says, we're going on vacation for 2 weeks. Can you stay? I'm like, oh my goodness, 24-hour care. No one at Homewell in Anchorage had ever done 24-hour care 2 weeks straight. But I knew that God had given me this opportunity. So I said yes. I just began loving on her and 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 spending time, more and more time with her, and fixing her hair and putting her makeup on and doing her nails. And I took care of her. And then the Lord gave me another one. You guys, there's a story I could tell you that is absolutely amazing. I took care of a lady one time. And the Lord, when I was putting lotion on her, an older lady, she was in her 90s, she actually had been one of the starters for the euthanasia movement here in Anchorage. Her and this other lady had started it. And this lady came in to visit her while I was there. I just happened to be at the right place at the right time, and my boss says, I'm in there picking up my check, and my boss says, hey, I need somebody to work such and such. Can you do it? Yes, I can do it. I get there. So anyways, long story short, I'm feeling the Lord wants me to pray over this woman. So you guys know I sing. So I got the oil out, and I started bathing her in oil. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, this lady's 94, 95, 97. I don't remember. She was in her 90s. He said, you're preparing her. You're preparing her for burial. I'm like, oh, you guys can believe that or not, but that, honest to God, that happened to me. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So the song that came up in my heart was about the blood of Jesus. And I started singing that over her and washing over her with the love of God, believing that God was using me to minister to this woman. And the next week I was in the office, and the lady that works at the front desk said, did you hear about such and such? Didn't you take care of her? And I'm thinking, oh, God, I hope she didn't die, you know, shortly after that, you know. But she had passed away the next morning. I believe that she went to go see Jesus. I believe 90-something years old, guys, that's it. One quick last story. There was another lady that actually, she was in her 90s, and she was very sharp. She had been a nurse here in Anchorage. She was very sharp, and she did not want anybody in her house. So what I did was I just would clean, because I used to be a housekeeper. So I would dust everything and clean everything and sing all the way through her house. And the Lord would bring up these old, old, old hymns, because I grew up in a lot of different generations of Christian music. So I'd sing. Pretty soon, within just a month or so, pretty soon, she wouldn't let me touch her. And I had to give her shots and stuff in her belly because she had cancer. She was dying. And pretty soon, I was singing over her. I was praying over her. I was washing, wiping her. I was doing all the stuff that she wouldn't let me touch her. She would not let, we did 24-hour care. I did 3 24-hour care days with her, didn't I, John, for several months. Do you know what, you guys? She said, I couldn't believe it. This is what got me with you, Kim. I could not believe it. You began to sing those old hymns over me. She said, in my house, she said, my grandmother used to take me to these old-timey, she was in her 90s, you guys, used to take me to these old-timey prayer meetings, and they'd have these big music things. They would be singing and worshiping, and she goes, I just got away from all that. She lived 80-something years of her life without Christ. And at the very end of her life, I saw her just a few hours. I was with her a few hours before she left and went to go be with Jesus. And her picture is on my refrigerator. I believed God for her salvation. I could have got offended and said, I want out of this place. I don't want to take care of this crotchety old lady. I could have said that. And believe me, I felt that way sometimes because I'd leave there. I'd want to cry when I left there because she was so mean. But I won my way into her heart by loving her, by praying, by seeking the Lord. And that, my dears, is the end of this season's story. Come back if you want to hear the next one. Oh, boy. Her name was Fran, and I love her dearly still. And I praise God that He gave me the opportunity to be with her.